What's up, everybody? Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy, the commercial real estate search engine that makes it free to list and free to search commercial property. I'm joined by my co-host and good friend, Bucky Beeman from Rochester, Minnesota. What is your company name? I'm kidding.
Realty Growth Incorporated.
Are you guys in lockdown today or like this week or whatever?
So the state of Minnesota hasn't done the stay in place order yet, but a lot of people that I talked to speculate it's coming. So I made the proper steps to get set up here yesterday.
Awesome. So we are in lockdown in California. And to the audience, if you like the content that Bucky, Natalie, and I are putting on these video and audio podcasts, please hit the like button, subscribe on the YouTube channel, and that will alert you of new episodes which come out weekly. And at the same time, make sure that if you're listening to this on a podcast that you go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. That helps other professionals in the same situations like yourselves where we're driving value find us. So please do that. Leave a review, hit the like button, and subscribe. Bucky, so you moved into your new condo.
Yeah, it's a condo I've owned for a while here in Rochester, and I had it remodeled in the last month, and it just got done last week. And so I was living in another rental property that I own, and I decided to move back. I was kind of toying with the idea of selling, but given the current climate and everything going on, it just made sense to move back and just get settled in. So
What are you doing with the other place?
It's a triplex. So I will just rent out the apartment that I was living in over there. And it's an easier one to rent than this condo just because of prices. And yeah, so I'm back. So I got a bed. I got some food. I got a little bit of dishes and I got my computer. So I'm set. I don't have a couch or a TV, but who needs that stuff?
Do you live with your girlfriend?
I do not.
Okay. Got it. So this is like your party dungeon.
Whatever you want to call it. I call it the studio, right? It's the studio. It's all in one. Step into my office.
Dude, can you give us a little tour? Is your computer like mobile so we can see that view that you showed earlier?
I got a bunch of cords. So here's everything I moved over yesterday, my filing cabinet right behind me. So I'm trying to get through that.
Yeah.
There's the living room. There's the bed over there. My desk is currently the new countertop, granite countertop right by the sink.
That's nice.
And one of the best parts of the whole place is the view of downtown Rochester. So it overlooks South Broadway and it's right in the heart of downtown. So
that's sweet, man. Congratulations. Moving back must have been fun.
Yeah, it was a quick move, but we got it done.
Dude, so with this whole COVID thing, right, that we're going through, like people working from home, I've been talking to brokers and managing partners. You know, there's a lot going on out there. And a lot of people, you know, have a little more time simply because there's just a lot of transactions have slowed down quite a bit. And talking with a lot of people, you know, they're spending this time to clean up their computer files or spending time to manage their email. And both you and I are passionate about, you know, finding better ways to manage email. And we found different things that work for us, different tools and hacks that people, unfortunately, you know, in business school or even in any, like even in school, like when you're growing up, nobody teaches you the main things like how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach you things like how to manage incoming email. They don't teach you, you know, how to go grocery shopping. Like the main things are kind of like these nebulous things that are up to a parent that may have some variation that might be efficient, but another parent or somebody else may have an inefficient way or unwise way of doing things. So I thought we'd probably put some best practices here that you and I are using and then also talk about how some individuals are actually circumventing or actually not just working around the fact that they can't be in personal contact with each other. That's something that you wanted to talk about that you brought in. So I'm not, you know, I'm not stealing your idea, but I thought we kind of jump into that, especially since email tends to take anywhere from like a third to half of a broker's time or any commercial real estate professional. How do you go about managing your email? What email program do you use, Bucky? What tools do you use? And is there a specific workflow that you go through on a daily basis?
I wish I could say I was good at this, but I definitely don't feel very strong in this area. I live by my emails, meaning I start my day usually close to my emails. If it's not social media before, it's email shortly after. And I use Apple Mail, and in Apple Mail, I have multiple email addresses coming in. My RGI work email, I have kind of a personal email, and then I have another side business, and that email comes in. And I often am looking at what is the newest email. And so that workflow isn't the best because you are looking at what's bothering you as the newest thing and not necessarily what the priority is. So a couple ways I've tried to find efficiencies is flagging in Apple Mail. You can flag and label by actually working with someone in my office, certain tasks I just forward on that they can help me with, and then I can get it out of my inbox. And so using emails to kind of delegate tasks. And I have other things too, but that's what I'm working in is Apple Mail. I like it because it's on my iPad very easily. It's on my iPhone and it's on my Mac. So I'm definitely an Apple user.
Does it bug you the amount of time it takes for Apple Mail to read through an email? Because one thing that I just dread on the iPad and the iPhone is I'll get an email and like literally it says loading. Like it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens often enough throughout the day where I'm just like, ah, why can't you just show me this email now? Do you ever get that?
I don't. I'm trying to, sorry, my phone's ringing in the background if you heard that, but no, I don't. It's been quick for me and I use Apple Mail as the interface, but I'm not using like the cloud me.com. It's truly a Google email. And then it's just, I set it up to come in through the accounts.
Yeah. So that's how I did it too. It's just for me, we use all the G Suite products, so the Google products for our business and, you know, other stuff like personal emails, also Google. And, sometimes like it just like takes forever when it's looking up the email because it doesn't download it in like real time. It's not like instant on Apple Mail. It's like it downloads like every 15 minutes. And then if you load it in between that session, like in the interim, it'll take forever. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Some people won't even care about that. I'm just nitpicking.
Yeah. No, what's your workflow? What's the tips that you have, Andrew, relative to emails?
So it was really hard at the beginning. You know, when I was a broker, of course, everybody uses Outlook, right? Because we're Microsoft products. And then when we started Digzy four and a half years ago, we chose the Google Suite, the G Suite, simply because it's easy to deploy. It's a trusted infrastructure. The interface is a little bit confusing for some people that aren't used to using email in a web browser. But you do have the option to do what you're doing, which is like, hey, you can use, you know, Outlook on the Mac, you can use Apple Mail, you can use any email program to interface with the Google Suite. Over the years, I've found that the Google Suite has become, like the web-based email has become the best one, but I don't think that's gonna be relevant to a lot of commercial real estate professionals, simply because they're locked into the, most of them are locked into the Microsoft Office environment, so they have to use Outlook or the web version. But for example, things that used to bug me, like conversation view, you know, it's annoying. It doesn't show the full name of the person. It'll just say Bucky, comma Andrew if I responded. It'll say Bucky Beeman if it's the original email and I haven't responded to it yet. You weren't able to break out those into individual emails. They changed that a couple years ago. Cool things that it has is like it's got a bunch. If you're using Chrome, there's a bunch of tools that overlay and add additional functionality via a Google Chrome extension. Like you have like CRMs that hook into it to the right hand side. So you can see, hey, is this person your CRM, et cetera. There's like little widgets that will show you all their social media handles. There's little tools that instantly install, which allow you to like change the way your Gmail looks. It gives you enhanced functionality. Like for example, Calendly has a little tool, like you can install the Google Chrome and in the composing pane, it gives you a little button so you can select the times that you're available and send those times so somebody can book you. So there's a lot of power behind web applications because they're so pervasive and ubiquitous and almost everybody in the world uses Chrome. So it makes it really easy to do that. The main thing I like is the fact that you can snooze emails and you can schedule emails for later. Mm-hmm. And they keep on innovating things like that. It also integrates with like Google Tasks, but you know, you have that on Outlook. I don't use that. I use a different system, which I really treat the inbox like an inbox. You know, we tend to live in the inbox, which is, mm-hmm. Like how many, like, do you really like run your life standing in front of like your mailbox outside your house?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
You just go in the house, you manage what you have to do. And then maybe you're like, a person who checks it at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day when you get home from work. Like, I really treat it like an inbox. And I think that's a big problem because everybody talks inbox zero, but the problem that we have is that we live in the inbox. And usually when you're in a sales role, you want to see what emails are coming in and immediately respond, right? There's statistics out there that 40% of the sales or clients generated go with the first vendor that responds to them. So there's kind of like this like tug of war between treat like actually working with the inbox the way you should be, and then having this anxiety that, hey, I'm going to miss a deal because of it. So those are things that we kind of need to evaluate. But if you have an assistant or something like that, they can always monitor, if they have important emails. You can send rules and things like that, but then it just becomes too much work. But
Yeah.
I use a combination of the, for my main email, the web interface. We have other email inboxes that the team uses that I check in once in a while. For example, I'll use Apple Mail for those, right? Like if they're like just like marketing campaigns that some of our premium members, like some of our premium customers, like large landlords and large listing teams, Digzy really markets or properties for them to generate more tours. So those inboxes are handled by the team, but I like to peek in once in a while. Actually, probably like a, I want to say like one or twice a day or every other day, just to kind of get a glimpse of what's going on and what the trends are. But the team uses a tool called Front. And what that does is it basically makes email collaborative. So if somebody comes, if a support ticket comes in, right? Then Sean on our team can actually look at that ticket, but then he can like tag and comment below the email, so it's private. He can tag like Megan. Let's say it's a product question. He can say, "Hey Megan, what do I answer for this?" So there's like a lot of different tools out there, but they use it quite a bit. The listing acquisition team will use it for as well. So like for example, when incoming emails are coming into their personal emails, they are hooked into the Front application, and they can basically, all those emails are private until they share or comment with somebody. So let's say one of our listing acquisition reps gets an email with all the listings for a company that they've been pursuing for a while. And they don't have an Excel sheet. They just wanted to send them over so that our data entry team can do it. Where our data entry team's not in our main office, they're in a separate office. So they can actually easily assign that email to them, and then they can track the progress, whether it's been done. So there's a lot of tools out there. What are your favorite tools when it comes to email, Bucky, that you use?
So being so loyal to Apple Mail, I tend to have to find stuff that integrates with Apple Mail. So as I've shared in previous podcasts and video calls that I'm not great at a CRM, the one CRM that I am trying to stay loyal to plugs into my Apple Mail. So it does show up on the side. It is called Daylight. And then I have tried in the past Mail Butler. Mail Butler allows within Apple Mail your ability to schedule emails. And so I've tried that in the past. I didn't schedule enough to where it was a tool that I kept paying for. Grammarly helps me with my grammar that I'm not very good at. And it's something that I see is automatically built into Gmail. That's one thing I've seen with Gmail is I love how it will finish sentences and kind of advance, make your speed a lot quicker in
Oh
Gmail.
yeah, it's great.
I'm trying to think of other tools that I have used. That's probably the two main tools that come to mind for me integrated with my
Yeah.
email.
Now, let's say for example, let's talk about manage me email. Okay, so you walk in, I avoid looking at email in the morning until I'm at my desk and I've already planned my day, because otherwise I get sucked in. And I think we're just such suckers when it comes to email that if it was urgent, they would have called you. That's the way that I didn't, I had to discipline myself to think and feel and act that way and behave that way. But if it's urgent, you're gonna get a text message and you're gonna get an email or a phone call. So it can wait. So that's one thing. So the one thing is like usually I won't open up my email and start processing till about like 9:30 or 10 in the morning. And then what I'll do is I'll actually process the inbox. Like literally, I will just like if I there's a little extension on Gmail that you use that you can pause your inbox. And I used to use it. Now I just don't use it at all. Now I just basically see, okay, if new emails come in, I'm just going from the email all the way down. and then processing, go, hey, this is urgent. This can wait till tomorrow. This can wait. This is maybe nice to look at later, etc. And I empty out the inbox and I put them in separate folders. And I basically have just simple folders. So I have urgent, priority one. So it's just like literally urgent, it's zero. The name of the folder is zero space urgent. Then I have one, that's it, like folder one. Then I have folder two and then folder three. And then what I'll do is I'll basically go through my email and then put them all in like separate folders. So like, let's say a newsletter came through. I'll create a rule that, hey, any newsletters that come in, send it to the newsletters folder. Right, because those aren't going to make or break me. I can check those out at the end of the day. Let's say I have three emails. One is a purchase and sale agreement that I've been waiting for. I don't jump on it right away. I put it in zero, which it says zero space urgent. Then the next one is like, I need to get back to this one. Okay, I put it in folder number one. Then I need to do this. And then there's another thing where like somebody's trying to book me. Either they want to be on our podcast or it's like an interview or maybe it's like a sales opportunity at some point in time, but it's something we're not focused on, I'll put it in folder number two. And then if it's something like somebody reaching out and if I ever have time, like I'll put it in folder number three. Folder number three is like maybe someday, right? So for example, urgent, this has to be done right away. Number one is next actions, basically based on GT, the getting things done methodology. Two is basically, hey, check this after you're done with priority zero, and so urgent and priority one. And then jump on this one. And then if I go to number three, that's like, hey, if I forget about this, but I like to have a reference of it. So I'll just quickly in the morning, you know, and you can do, if you're in Outlook, which most people are, you can click on, I believe it's like the right-hand side on sync and just tell it to stop syncing or just like disconnect really quick. And you can process your email without distraction. Just put them in that folder. Once that's done, then what I do is like literally I don't start working right away. I go take a break. I look at my goal. Like I really write down my goals for the day going, hey, what are my goals for this week? What's my goals for the month? And I basically have them broke down. And it's no more than 2 to 3 bullet points for the month, for the week. And then those are like the core guiding principles. And then I might have like mini tasks like in a separate section. And I just use Apple Notes for this. I used to use Evernote, but it's kind of buggy these days for like note taking for other things. It's great. So I'll basically go and say, okay, so my goal this week is to make sure that we get the listing acquisition team trained and they're running on their own. Second is get myself out of a certain, like, how do I explain this? So like second might be something like, you know, create partnership with X, Y, and Z. And that's going to be basically kind of like a, like something that we're already in the midst of. And then number three might be something like, okay, make sure that all of the paperwork from all the investors in our company or that is continuing to move forward. So, right. So just three goals for the week. And then from that, I might have many tasks. And then basically when I have the tasks, I have them the same up on mail. I'm not using like a to-do program. Any like tasks that are like for a specific project and all these things, those are managed somewhere else. And the reason why is because I have a separate place where I don't have anything distracting me. I just see, okay, here are my goals. Here's my overall vision for the next 12 months, where we want to be. Here's like where we want to be at, you know, in this quarter. And then, you know, here's what basically I need to complete this month. And then it guides to like, okay, what do we want to complete this week? And it's just bullet points, like, or numbered bullet points. That's all it is. And then basically, anytime I look at an email and I'm not sure, I look back at that list and go, oh, that's not priority zero. That's not urgent. That needs to go in folder number three. And it's really easy. You can even create a sticky note or like a little text file that you have on the right-hand side of your window that constantly helps you keep yourself in check. It's really easy to keep on digging and forget about, you know, where you want to be. Because you just can't see, the sky anymore.
So when you say all that, and I don't know, it's not saying you're wrong, I'm right, vice versa. Like I've tried over organizing and that always seems to fail for me. So like yeah. You talk about these different places and like, I've tried that and then I end up not doing it. And so for me, it's always like less is more in Correct. Order to stay organized. And so and as a result of that, I'm probably not a good example of someone that doesn't live in their email. I live in my email, but I don't get too concerned about things that fall through the cracks. Not to say that I'm proud of them, but I try not to allow things that maybe don't get hit as soon as they should to disrupt my mindset of how I can continually grow and help my clients and all of those things. So I don't over-organize, and then I just try to respond fast, and I try to get it off my plate quickly, and I try to not get worked up if I miss something.
So, you know, it's actually what you're saying. So I want to make sure that it's clear. So that's why I mentioned it's only like 2 to 3 bullet points, and that's for the week. Those are the guiding principles for the week. So you, obviously you're not going to have the same 3 bullet points. You got to always keep yourself in check at the beginning of the week going, hey, where do we want to be at the end of this month? And we want to be 6 months. And you always start with like, hey, I want to make, you know, $1 million this year. And then you do the reverse math and you say, okay, what needs to take place and this and that. And you're going to have people inquiring on properties and all that stuff. Right, you're going to have all these mini tasks pop up like, hey, can you send me the brochure for this? Hey, what's the operating expenses? Hey, can you draft a proposal? And if you have – the problem is less is more. But when you're basically using one place to put it all in, like using the inbox, for example, that's why I keep a note with what my goals for the week are. And then any tasks that I believe like the top 3 tasks for the week that are gonna help me achieve that, if I knock down those tasks – everything else that drops through crack, like I'm, let's say for example, I don't organize my email today, I'm okay with it. And the reason why is because I looked at my thing and I go, I gotta close escrow and where are those documents? And then I'll just go to my inbox and then sort by the person's name, ignore all the emails and make sure that I accomplish that. Because that allows me to cut through the clutter. But if I had my task list in the same email program or like my goals list in the same email program and like the critical tasks that help me achieve that, right? And there's not like a list of 10, there's like usually 2 or 3 things, but you have a place that's basically kind of like your beacon, your North Star that I'm looking at, then I gauge everything around it. So I'll give you an example. So let's say, for example, we're waiting for a script from a TV show that we're going to be featured in, right? So I know for a fact by doing this, when I look at my list and I go, okay, great. When is that due? Just like I have like a reference thing. Okay. That's not till April 24th. I'm not going to jump on it and review right now. I'm just not. Right. But I already have on my little goals list right there that, hey, this is pending, but I've got till, it just says, you know, TV show interview, and it has, you know, April 24th. And I know that I can ignore that. And because I have it right there, it is. But I'm not treating it like a task list. I'm basically treating it. And there's no more than 6 items. 3 items at the top and then a different section. And this is why it's just a note of the critical things that need to move forward. If nothing else, what I'm in charge with in my role at the company, I don't care. And the reason I don't care is because if it's urgent and important enough, it'll come like chasing me down. It'll be a phone call, a text message, or somebody on my team bugging me. So I make sure that, you know, when I clean out my inbox, I want to clean out my inbox because I need to know if, you know, those things are important. And, you know, I fail at it like a lot of times a week. It's like I won't do it like for, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 days sometimes. But it really keeps the sanity alive because I know the things that need to happen that are urgent, right? And let's say, for example, I have 10 things on urgent, right? Well, I look at my task list or my little note on what the goals are for the week. And I go, yeah, dude, like that is urgent, but it's not, you know, urgent enough for me to complete it today. It can be completed tomorrow. These other 2 things are completed. So I can sift through the email and let's say I have 10 and urgent. If I not, we're so busy as commercial real estate professionals, like you have to keep in mind that, you know, if you have 10 things and one of those is going to take you 2 hours to complete, let's say somebody wants you to do an analysis, right? Was that something that you needed to complete right now? And it's not, and you need to be, the more you do it, the quicker you're judging your information, which is awesome. It's absolutely awesome and to manage those workflows like that. And then, you know, maybe you're taking a break. Maybe after lunch, you check the email again and see what it is. With the exception that if you're waiting for a critical document, you know, what a hack that I do is when I'm waiting for a critical document for my team or the sales team on a certain thing, I go, if you get it, pop me a text, don't pop me a Slack message because everybody's like popping information on Slack and it's just distracting. Pop me a text, call me, or walk over to my desk. And then that way I can just let everything else go through. So delegation, like what you're doing, is awesome. But the same thing is you need to have, this is at least my thing, you need to have kind of like what your goals are for this week. And then the main projects for this week, like let's just a list of 2 to 3. You may have 6, then you need to bring somebody else in to help you out. If not, you're going to have to figure out a way to do things. But this is just my experience because I struggled with it my whole life as a broker when I was a broker. And then I even struggled when I started my tech company, and I have a lot more roles in this company. When you're starting a startup, you know, you're the product guy, you're this, that. And luckily we've grown where we have people handling that, but it's hard to keep yourself disciplined and be productive. Because here's one thing that really changed my life. This guy who's built, you know, a lot of great companies invited me to an event, and we were listening to these co-founders of this successful startup. And he says, look, startup life is like this. There's fires burning everywhere. There's problems everywhere. There's opportunities everywhere. Your job as an entrepreneur and a CEO is to know which fires to put out and which fires to let burn. And just by saying let burn, said, okay, I need to know my directives, my goals for the week, like what the main thing are. Those are the fires I need to put out. Everything else is just stuff that I can just let burn.
Yeah, no, that's really well put.
Yeah, so that's pretty much my hack on that. So I just use kind of like a folder system, make sure I clean out the inbox so there isn't anything in there, and then just ignore it. And then I tell my team, you know, hey, if this comes through, let's say I'm a busy broker, right? Like I have a team or I have partners, I'm going, hey, you know, I'll tell my younger associate, I'm going, hey, if you see that purchase and sale agreement come from Wendy, come see me. Or pop me a text message, because right now I'm working on these other things. I need to get this buy versus lease analysis out. I need to get this broker opinion of value out, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and if anybody's listening that has ideas of other tools or want to explain the way they do it, I think just that insight is good for all of us to hear and see, because it will help us find our way of what's best for our workflow and the way we like to be the best version of ourselves.
So yeah, and I second that. I highly encourage you guys to reach out and let us know of some things, because we learn from, these are all things that we've learned from other people as well. Bucky, how do you deal with like documents, like for like, let's say for example, a brochure, a buy versus lease analysis, like how do you deal with that digital clutter for projects on your computer? Like how do you, from driving you insane?
Yeah, so the two things that really have helped me. One is I set up a Google Drive that is specific to property marketing. And what that allows me to do, and I feel it's worth the money, it allows me to then share access to that Google Drive for my marketing team. So I have someone that shoots videos. I have someone that helps me with flyers. I have someone that maybe at some point, and they don't now, is going to help me with distribution of all these listings onto social media platforms. I have obviously our office admin. And by giving a one point of access to a Google Drive, it doesn't lead to this issue that can arise if you start sharing individual folders from a set, like a Google Drive that has contracts in it and private details and all that stuff. So that's, I really have liked that decision I've made, and it's working well for me. Now, the next thing I've done is the Google Drive that our entire team shares, where we can share confidential information. One, just being mindful of, you can't have social security numbers in there. You can't have EINs, recognizing the rules relative to what can and can't go into there. And then from there, really having our office admin be the police officer of what can go in and what's going to go in and how it's going to be organized. So she gets a lot from us as sales agents, and she then is helping organize that in a way that's manageable, especially for her and then also for our team to digest. And addresses are the best way that we have been able to organize our file system. You know, having a nickname is fine relative to a property, having a person's name is fine, but those things change. The address, for the most part, does not change. And so by making that the way to organize it has been a good move on our part.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing that I learned when I was at Lean Associates that one of like the marketing people was using was when they're creating, like, let's say there's a folder on a Google Drive that, or even like, and by the way, guys, you can do, you don't have to use Google Drive. If you have OneDrive from Microsoft, you can do the same thing. You can create a folder and share permissions with different people. So you can have what Bucky's saying, like one for the marketing brochures, one for this, one for that. And then you can have, you know, another folder in there that has subfolders so you can share with your team. One thing that you just sparked on, Bucky, is that what I do, let's say for a project. So one thing that I had learned was that the name of the street doesn't change, right? So you can be like South Chamberlain Avenue. You can do, you know, One Vent or Venture Boulevard or Venture Ave, and you can have like, you know, Harbor Boulevard. And what I noticed is like they named the beginning of the title is just the name of the street. And then immediately after that, just a space and the number, like the street number, and then space dash space, the suite number, if there is a suite, and then space, you know, the city and state it's in. So like, it'll be like Irvine, comma, CA. And that helps you quickly find, instead of like going, okay, what's the street number of that address? You see everything by, so you know how to alphabetically categorize those things and just grab them and send them to somebody. So that's been a really good filing convention that I've seen for people. And you can have it all in one folder and easily find it out instead of going like individually to like different folders for different projects to find a brochure. Now, aside from brochures and those kind of materials, let's say, for example, when you have, let's say, an LOI coming in, you have counter LOIs, you have, you know, brochures, you've got like a breakdown of the operating expenses, you've got the financials for your client or the financials for the tenant if you're on the listing side. Like, where do you store all that project information so that you have quick access to it, but you're not spending all this time managing? And like, the worst thing is that I don't like to spend time organizing things. I'm not that kind of guy. I like finding things really quick, but at the same time, if I'm revisiting and I'm looking at a document, I want to know like what that document is right away. Like, what are you using to kind of keep all that project information centralized while you're doing the project so that you have quick access to it in an easy fashion?
Sorry, I was muted there. It's just for us using that Google Drive as the place to store all things, and then finding that property address, putting the things that are associated with that property address in that folder. And I'm not going to say we're great at this, but labeling those attachments, those things you upload properly based on what it actually is. And that's where we store it at this point. And it's been working.
Cool. So you know what I do that I learned that takes very little time, instead of like going, are you using the web interface for Google Drive or are you using just like the little app that lets you open it up as a native folder on your computer?
I tried the native app and I didn't select download the certain files I wanted to do. And it filled up my storage on my computer. So as a result, I'm just doing it native, like within Google Drive on the Chrome.
Yeah, so you're using the web interface.
Yeah, thank you. I don't talk tech like you do.
Ah, I used to not. You'll learn, Padawan.
Using the web interface.
The online, the webs, the yeah. Interwebs. Yeah, we've got to put it on the line so that way everybody can access that file. So one thing that I do that's a really neat hack. So I used to use Evernote for this. And if you, you can do it with a free version of Evernote, but I just fire up a note. Like I just have like a folder called clients, and then it's OneNote, and it's basically that I write, and it'll be like the client name or the property name or like the property and suite name. And it might, in parentheses, it might be the name of the tenant, right? So I know, and then the property will be, since it's, you can sort it by default in alphabetical order. It might be like South Harbor Boulevard 111, comma, you know, suite 210, space dash space, you know, Fullerton, comma, CA. And then it'll be like the name of the tenant. So the one thing is that I'm doing when I do that is I have one note that I spark up, and you can drag documents in there. So for example, I can have like the initial LOI, and then I just type above it. I'm just go initial LOI and just drag it in there. So I don't have to rename the file and look for it in some folder. Then the next line might be counter LOI, and I'll just put it there, right? And I just drag and drop it in there as an attachment. So just drag and drop instead of like clicking the little paperclip and like finding the file, just drag and drop is easy. Then I might have like financials and all that stuff. So I have like OneNote with all the current information and I don't have to hunt it on a drive. Now, the great thing is if you pay for Evernote Premium, you can actually, it'll search like the words inside the PDF. So let's say, for example, you can't find this document. When you do the search, it'll scan the contents of the PDF, the Excel sheet, everything. So let's say, for example, you're like, oh God, I know I have this somewhere. You can search it and immediately find what you were looking for. And they have all kinds of really great stuff. One thing though is that Evernote has really not like the search, it'll search images. So like if you have a picture and it has a word in it, it'll search. It searches it better than Google. Like I've done this test. I just did it last week. If I take a picture of a receipt on Evernote, I'm finding that receipt. If I take a picture of the receipt and upload that picture to Google, even though they have great character recognition, it's not as good as Evernote. It will not find it. So for these features, like for PDFs and all that stuff, you do have to upgrade to the premium account, but I think it's like $50 or $70 a year. It's just ridiculous. Well worth the money. But then what I started doing recently was Evernote's kind of slow on mobile devices. And also if you're used to an iPad where you can split and have like two notes next to each other, I can't do that. So what I ended up doing is I started moving some of the workflow to Apple Notes. So I just fire up, you know, a note. I have a little folder that I create that might be like current transactions, right? And keep in mind, I don't do this for commercial real estate because I'm not a broker anymore, but we have projects. I'm putting it in the context of a commercial real estate professional. I might have that folder that calls current transactions, and I have one note, you know, that I've created for each project. So it'll be like South Harbor Boulevard, space 111, comma, suite 210, space, dash, space, you know, Fullerton, California, and then parentheses like tenant name, like ABC Technologies. And I'll have in that note, I'll have the proposal and all that stuff. And it's so easy. Instead of like going on your phone and launching OneDrive and doing all this stuff. Now, the thing is, I don't know if Apple Notes searches the Excel files, but it does a great job finding text in PDFs and images. So you can have that. So and you can just do it all in Apple Notes. It come and it's free. It's on your phone. But then when you're done with the transaction, if you have an iPhone. Now, if you don't have an iPhone, then go with Evernote because Evernote works on both of those things. So a lot of people have iPhones. The good thing on iPhone is that you can actually share that note with somebody on your team that has iPhone as well. When let's say your admin has your office manager has an iPhone and she needs to save all of the proposals and all the stuff for compliance issues with the state, right? For real estate law, you can just share that note and she can grab all those files and then you can cut off access, which is great. So that's a really neat hack to keep everything centralized instead of having a folder, trying to find it. It's great if you need to share it in real time with good stuff, use Apple Notes with other Apple users, but you can also do the same thing you can do with Evernote. Evernote allows you to share that specific folder or note with another Evernote user. But it basically, cool. you can just keep everything searchable and easy on an Evernote project, keep floor plans, everything in just one note, and you can easily find them. And then you can also, you know, drag and drop them or save them to your desktop and send them. So that's a neat hack to be able to handle paperwork in that way. And also, if you're collecting receipts, Evernote's fantastic for collecting receipts, and you can keep receipts on your Apple Notes too, and have a folder called receipts, and it does character recognition, so you can easily find that receipt, so you can send it to your accountant at the end of the year.
I don't think we should ignore the current state of where we're at in the world and what's going on. And I think that, you know, now is a time when people are working from home, your organization, you may have more time to kind of figure this out than ever before because of the virus and because of your time that's now on your hands. There's a lot less showings of properties. There's a lot less in-person meetings. And so this is the time to work on those things. And I'm certainly doing that. I'm going to check out that note function.
Cool. Yeah, let's talk about that. So we've seen a lot of stuff. I think this COVID thing is going to accelerate the amount of people that are actually embracing digital working from anywhere.
100%,
and, you know, I'll let you start on it. And I have a great comment to tell you about even one of my family members using this whole thing that we're witnessing to the effect that you're going to mention on a different industry.
Gosh, now I'm trying to think what I'm going to mention on a different industry.
So
Remind me, was
we were
it
talking
something?
about all the stuff going live, right? Like marketing events and all that stuff, and how to use those things.
So I mean, I just want to spin some positive to it. It's definitely a negative as it relates to the economy, but let's spin some positives to it. So one is I am seeing a lot more people embrace video and video on Instagram, video live, video Zoom calls. And as a result of that, like even my team, I'm recording the Zoom calls like we're doing right now. And then I'm putting it onto YouTube unlisted so no one can find it. And then I send it to my team as a link. And I'm like, hey guys, this is the call. We talked about this project. And so it's helping us find a new workflow that we weren't used to before. And I'm such a fan of video. It's nice to see other people doing video. Neil Mathwigs, a residential realtor from Madison, Wisconsin, he just pulled together some great speakers for April 1st, and they're all going to be digital. And it's a free ticket talking about marketing and other things related to real estate. I just was on a Cornet phone call that had occurred because they were going to do it non-virtual, I believe. Maybe it was in person meeting, but then they just opened it up, and it was kind of fun to be a part of that. It's just opening doors for a different workflow, new opportunities, and I think that's a positive, especially in an industry that is, for the most, versus the tech industry,
It's you said for the most part what?
behind on the times versus like the tech industry,
Oh,
for
okay.
example. So it's fun to see people in real estate working in a different way.
So you wanted to highlight like why all this stuff that you're noticing is great for marketing. Can you go a little deeper into that?
I think that our consumer is getting more digital orientated as time goes on. And so as a result of that, we need to market to them in different ways, and video is a way of doing so. So for example, doing a property tour over FaceTime, over YouTube, over your phone, doing a 3D tour, if you can find it a reasonable way to do it cost-wise, and then sharing it with somebody that will lead to the ultimate decision of them moving forward with that property. Opening up as a brokerage a phone meetup, a video conference every single week that any one of your clients can come in and sit in and just hear about the state of the economy and some of the deals your company has. Like, I think that people are much more open to it than they ever have been. And we as commercial real estate professionals need to really push ourselves to try to communicate over the internet and using these tools that are at our disposal.
Got it. And a lot of conference calls popping up. Can you go over that?
So the conference calls that I'm seeing are industry focused for the most part. That's what I subscribe to. And people are just saying, hey, let's jump on a call and talk about the economy. And you can join by the phone or you can join over the computer. The SBA disaster loan that is going on right now and people are applying for it. I've been a part of two different phone calls where business owners from all over the state of Minnesota are on this call. And again, it just shows that people's, one, they're required to because they're probably working from home, but two, willingness to adapt to this form of communication that is going to become more popular than it has in years past.
Dude, so check this out. So my sister-in-law is like a gym nut, right? Like just a health nut, always working out. She I mean, for that, like she's just like seeing her a year ago versus seeing her now, it's kind of like transformational. And but the one thing is she's like itching because she can't, we're in lockdown mode, so gyms are closed, fitness are closed. Her trainer is actually having a full class via Zoom, so he's still making money, and she's in the garage, like working out and doing all stuff, and still getting their health. It's incredible.
It's what the norm could be in some regards. It doesn't always have to be this face to face. It's awesome. There's some gyms here in town and it's all over the country where they are lending out their equipment and then doing just that. So people actually have the equipment inside their garage or inside their home.
That's brilliant.
It's going to set up a whole nother business model that people have seen, but they haven't necessarily tried maybe. And yeah, it's going to change things.
You know, it's kind of like this forced trial. You know, here's the one thing, like if people are trying it now because they have to, right? They want something, but they can't get it because the whole place is in lockdown, and it's kind of like The forces of the universe said, we need to go digital. Let's lock everybody down with this whole COVID thing. And then you need to achieve something and you go, okay, well, I'm going to try this digital alternative, even though I prefer to go. And then they see, they save the drive time, they're getting results, all this stuff. It's going to be really interesting to see how many new industries and start thriving because of this forced trial to digital delivery of goods and services. Look how much money all these delivery companies are making now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a shock to the system, and we'll see how we're affected after it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that that I think it's going to be really cool is to see how many people start using video, and since you can't communicate. One thing we started doing at Digzy is it depends on what parts of the country, but in California for sure. In Northern California for sure, and other parts of the states. I got to check if we can deliver this on there. But there are companies that simply, they still are on the hunt for space. These are usually larger tenants or a big transaction, in the million plus deal value transactions. But because you can't tour properties, we actually started allowing people to actually have somebody from Digzy come out to their buildings and do a Matterport or a 3D virtual tour video that they can use. They can use it on Digzy. They can use it in any other search engine, any marketing materials that they have. They can get a quote for that. And it's just a way to help the commercial real estate community make money and keep deals moving forward. Because, for example, there's a lot of transactions that, the move-in date is not, to 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, especially these big deals. But if you can show buildings that way, and that's if you're a large listing broker, you want to have that asset. I'm not saying that we're doing this in a shoot to make money. We are not. We're doing it as a way to really say, hey, look, if you need to close deals and you need to show property, but you can't physically go out there and you're dealing with like multinational tenants or you're dealing with large office spaces or tenants that can actually move forward or clients that you're representing that can actually move forward, this is a good option for you to show the properties that you can't show on your own. So we'll do that Matterport, and then it's your video. So you can basically go out and put it in any other marketing avenue. So we're hoping that we can help, commercial real estate professionals, landlords, et cetera, to keep transactions moving yet while things in certain states are installed mode. So that's one thing that we're doing that.
Yeah. And here's where my mind went while you're sharing that is like, can you make it where you do a, I don't know if it's a plug-in, where someone can request a walkthrough with an agent. So I get a notification that says, Andrew just asked to get a walkthrough. He wants to do it at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And so then I go to the property by myself and I go on to Zoom and I'm like, or FaceTime or whatever the plugin you use. And I just go, hey, thanks for coming. We're here at the property. Let's go walk through. That would be
feature. So that means like you going out there and showing the property?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could possibly do something like that. You may want to just record it once. I guess it makes sense. Like if
that personal thing, like if they request it, like I know as an agent, I'm willing to, like, what do you want me to do? Jump through a hoop? I'll jump through a hoop for you, especially if it leads to building this relationship,
Do you know what, Bucky? Let's do it. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try. I mean, we can always try. And if it works for you and it works for other people, even better for them, right? Because they can go to the property. It doesn't cost them anything and they can record the video and do that. So yeah, I think that's doable.
Yeah, I just think those type of thoughts is somewhat of what we're going to see coming out of this is like, okay, we know our consumers are okay with us doing this digitally. How do we shape our product, shape our service, shape our communication in a way to deliver it to them?
Right.
They'll enjoy.
Exactly. You got it.
Cool, all right, man.
That's all we got for today. So any parting thoughts before I turn off the camera and let you get back to work?
Thank you again for those that have reached out. I got a LinkedIn message from another broker that was giving us compliments on just these conversations. Keep chiming in. Would love to see continued collaboration with other individuals. Unfortunately, we're unable to see Natalie today. She's out there working hard. Maybe she's on lockdown. I don't know. Did you catch where she was at? But she'll get on the next call, hopefully.
Oh, I'm sure Natalie is doing something that's really, really cool. And and she didn't want to invite us because yeah, she wanted us to be able to drive value through this podcast. All right. So if you're looking for commercial real estate, any way, shape, or size in Rochester, Minnesota, please contact Bucky Beeman at Realty Growth. Show notes will have all of our contact information. If you want to list and search commercial real estate for free, use our Digzy search engine. It's free to list your properties, free to search. I would love some feedback on how we can improve the search experience even more for if you're a tenant or a buyer, or if you're a broker or a landlord, would love to do that. We have really, really amazing updates coming through, and we want to keep that pipeline going so that you have an alternative to list and search commercial real estate. So with that being said, Bucky, I'm just going to mention, subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you get notified. And if you like this, leave a like button if you're on the YouTubes. And we'll let everybody go, and we'll see you next week.
Stay safe, stay well. We'll see you.
See you, everyone.